You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good team?
You guys ready for Monday Night Football tonight? No one says, are you ready for some football anymore? That's done, right?
Yeah, that one's over.
That's like one of the first things to really get canceled.
Was that Hank Williams Jr.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that ended. That was like canceling before canceling.
That song was?
Well, with rid of that him, song? With all of his, he had some issues.
Yeah, sure he did.
And they kind of moved along past that. And they tried other people singing the song, and that didn't work at all. And then they tried to bring him back, and that didn't really work either. So, you know, I miss it, but I don't miss it.
Do you like Sunday Night Football?
The Carrie Underwood thing? I do. Like, it's a Joan Jett song, right? She's doing a cover of Joan Jett doing I Hate Myself for Loving You.
I don't think so. She got sued by another country artist that said she stole that from her.
No, that's I Hate Myself for Loving You, for sure. Find Joan Jett, I Hate Myself for Loving You. It is literally the same song.
Huh, okay.
It's like the same music, the same everything.
But you like it.
They even put Joan Jett in it this year. Like, she was like playing the guitar in it. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I know that
Maybe
song.
Maybe it's this year's version. I don't know. I know at one point there was a country artist that sued her for...
Really?
All Day for Sunday Night song.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious what it would be, because when I hear that song, all I hear is literally just changing the words with the same music.
Yeah.
Do you have I Hate Myself for Loving You? Can you play some of that?
I do. I'm just worried it's going to have an ad. Nope, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Play me some of that.
Let me just try to get forward up a little bit. Yeah.
Same song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely
the
same song.
We can sing with it. I hate myself for Sunday night.
I hate myself for Sunday night.
Yeah. Isn't that what you're saying? Oh, that was Saturday night. Sorry.
Yeah, I did. Man.
Because I hate myself for Sunday Night Football. There you go. It's the same song.
Word for word.
Yep, and they may hire me to do it next. All right, I promise breaking news. Here it is from the Seattle Mariners. Ken Griffey Jr. is the latest member of the Mariners Partnership Ownership Group. So Ken Griffey Jr. is now a member of the Mariners ownership. So from now on, when you take shots at Mariners ownership, you were taking shots
at the kid. Really?
At Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah, this just came out, and I'd heard a little buzz about this over the last couple of days. Ken Griffey Jr. will join as a minority partner of the Seattle Mariners. No, he's not going to be the primary owner. No, he didn't take over for John Stanton or anything like that, but... there aren't that many minority owners, and he is going to be one of them. So how about that? The kid joining Mariners ownership.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, there's his music.
So what does this
mean? Yes. What does this mean?
Yeah, what does this mean?
Well, it could mean a couple different things. First of all, are they playing this at board meetings?
Yeah, he demands it every time he walks into a room.
Guys.
Entrance music.
I need my intro. He takes one step back and he's like, I'll let you guys try it again. Every step he goes, no? Okay.
I assume he also brings in the comfy chair, the recliner that he had in the clubhouse.
Yeah, the leather. He's pranking everybody day one.
That's got to happen.
That's awesome.
So those are sort of the jokes of what it means. But what does it actually mean? Honestly, I think there's some legitimate positives to having Ken Griffey Jr. in your ownership group. I don't know that it's just, face wash, or eye wash. I think there's actually something legitimate in there. One, it's a perspective in that board meeting that you don't have right now. Somebody who played the game, who understands the game, how it works, right, at the highest level of the highest level, one of the all-time greats, Ken Griffey Jr. is a part of your ownership group. And I think just having a player's perspective is important. The second part of it, though, is... he understands, for everybody who's only concerned about the Mariners ownership group is, do you care enough about winning to spend money to do it? Well, nobody is going to push harder for that than Ken Griffey Jr., right? A guy who was here after 1995 and part of that belief that they didn't go the extra mile at that time, right? To do everything they could have possibly done to get that nucleus, that core over the top. That's where a lot of the issues with Mariners ownership comes from, right? Is Lou Piniella and some of his feeling that there wasn't enough that they could have done to push them over. Well, Ken Griffey Jr. is absolutely a voice who remembers that and can push them to go even farther than that. We're getting the statements now from John Stanton. On behalf of the other partners, I want to welcome Ken. He has been an icon of our franchise on and off the field for over three decades. We're thrilled that he is joining us as a partner. His knowledge of the game, love of the Mariners fans, his experiences as a player, his passion for community service, and his desire to help grow our sport will be welcome and invaluable additional voice. That's from John Stanton.
Has this happened? How many other teams have, like, is Nolan Ryan kind of in this conversation? Like,
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know
John
the answer
Elway,
to it.
I mean, like, I well, know Elway his is different in terms of what his actual day-to-day is, but
I don't know that those guys are involved. They may have an ownership stake. I'm not sure. Here's Ken Griffey Jr.'s quote. As I said in my Hall of Fame speech, I'm very proud to be a Seattle Mariner. I'm excited for this incredible opportunity to join John and the rest of the Mariners partnership group. This is a dream come true because of the relationship I've always had with the team, its fans, and the city of Seattle. I view this as another way to continue to give back to an organization and community that has always supported me and my family. I'm looking forward to continuing to contribute to this organization's success in any way possible. So from what I've heard, Junior will be around more, that he will have an active voice in ownership, and that this is not just a ceremonial title. I can just imagine the conversation when John Stanton asked him, hey, Junior, do you think you'd have any interest maybe in being part of our ownership group? Yes.
Yeah, didn't let him finish the question.
The question is essentially, are you interested in making a guaranteed rate of return on your money? Yes, of course I am. Sports ownership is the biggest no. What's that commercial the guy says? It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind. Sports ownership is it. It's a little harder to come by than some of the other investments that you might want to get in.
That's a good text.
You got to have a lot of dough in order to find your way in, or some really good connections. But it is about as safe an investment as you can possibly make.
Oh, this is what Jeter and the Marlins. Yeah, that's definitely the marquee one.
But not of the team that he was, obviously.
No, not the team that he found, right. Made. What are they? Yeah, 253. I wonder how many other minority owners there are. Also, I'm curious how much I need to save to be one.
Well, you've got to save a lot. Start saving now. Don't spend anything for the rest of your life. And also
maybe,
hit the lottery.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe you too can be a minority owner.
Just show up at the big fake check and like, hey, I'm ready to go.
I don't remember how many minority owners there are. They may not even publish that information. And the shares are so different and widely vary. I mean, somebody may have 20% ownership. Somebody else may have 0.5% ownership and all the way through. So, and we don't know all the details and terms yet. I guess there's going to be a press conference at 1 o'clock today. So maybe we'll learn a little bit more about what this means. But I actually do legitimately think it matters. I do think that it is cool. I do think it is important to have that voice. And as Mariners baseball now enters, as we said, a crucial, crucial time. This is the most important offseason in the history of the Mariners. I don't think that's an exaggeration. I don't have enough of the history of this. Maybe you will argue that following 95, if they had done the right things, they could have gotten over the top in 96, and that would have been the most important. But certainly since then.
Do you think this has anything to do with that now? Like, this is almost like a...
I don't know. Yes.
Like a recruiting tool?
Maybe. It may be part of it. Yeah, I don't think that, I mean...
It's not a part of
it. I don't generally believe in coincidences. That's not generally my belief. They happen. But I generally tend to look at coincidences suspiciously. Do I think that having Ken Griffey Jr. join your ownership group, as is happening this morning, breaking news a few minutes ago, just as you are about to embark on the biggest offseason in the history of your team? Yeah, I think those two things could be linked, and I think that they're linked for the positive. If Junior is a voice in that room asking them to spend more and can help them understand the value of adding, whether it's Marcus Semien or Javier Baez or trading for Jose Ramirez or pitching or whatever the case is that they've identified, if he's another voice to help Jerry DePoto, great. Who wouldn't want that? If he's another person who can go to Marcus Semien and say, hey, man, I know you're considering a couple of different opportunities for you for all around the same money. Let me tell you what you can expect here in Seattle and why you should come here. You don't think there's a better recruiter on the planet than Ken Griffey Jr.?
Exactly.
With the amount of respect that young baseball players have for him, how many of them came to the game because of him?
Played his video game growing up?
Was it Sean Doolittle who came here this year and wanted to wear, like he had worn something, and they were like, oh, like wear number 24, and his wife was like, oh, just wear 24. And he was like, excuse me. I don't think that's going to work here in Seattle, or something like that. Like, he had always done it for Griffey.
I think there was, maybe it was Doolittle, but it was another player. It shows his Little League picture wearing all Mariners gear.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been waiting for this.
Ken Griffey Jr. is different. Like, he's in a different category because of the cool factor that he brought to baseball when he did it and the way he brought so many people to the game. So, yeah, I don't know whether that helps necessarily recruit every player, but could it be for the right person that Ken Griffey Jr. is that thing that inches it over the top? Sure. Yeah. We talked to Jerry DePoto about this last week, right? About going out there and trying to go pitch free agents on coming here. And Jerry talked a little bit about everything they did to try to woo Shohei Ohtani when they were trying to bring him here. It didn't work, obviously. He decided to go to the Angels, and maybe there was just nothing you could do to top the allure of playing for Mike Trout or with Mike Trout in L.A. But I think having Junior here as a part of it is nothing but positive. Yeah, Magic Johnson, part of the Lakers, that's a good one.
I was going to say, that's probably the best example of a player that the franchise he grew up
Magic's
with.
Magic's been a part of everything,
the
right?
The Dodgers now, too. Yeah. I like this text, too, because the gap between fans and teams mm-hmm. has always been so big. And now, from an ownership level, right? Like, they're mm-hmm. just these people up in the high castle. Now having Griffey as a face in so many ways, already been the face of the franchise, but bridging the gap between fan and organization.
Yeah, I mean, as you look at the Mariners, the whole idea of same old Mariners, you are slowly chipping away at every argument about them being the same old Mariners. The product on the field looks different, feels different, is different. Your general manager is not the one who is responsible for the horrible Bill Bavasi trades or some of the problems with Jack Zarensic. Your ownership group is no longer Nintendo, no longer Howard Lincoln, no longer Chuck, no longer Kevin Mather. All of those people have been removed from the equation. Now you add Ken Griffey Jr. in as another voice, or another face, rather, to put on ownership that looks different from what it was before. The idea, now, it won't end until the Mariners win. Nothing is over until it's over, right? It doesn't end until you make the playoffs, until you break this horrible streak, and nothing's really over until you get all the way to the top of the mountain and win the World Series, which, let's not forget, is the goal here. This doesn't change that. It's not like, oh, okay, well, now the Mariners are perfect because Ken Griffey Jr. is the owner. But it is another step along the way of slowly and methodically going through and fixing so many of the things that have ailed this team over the course of this 20-year issue.
I just realized that if and when the Mariners were to reach the mountaintop, which I'm not even going to say those words because the baseball gods hear that,
mm-hmm.
he would get a ring as a Mariner.
As he should.
I know.
Now, he probably would have anyway because he was already part of the organization
but
and the work he did.
Way different.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing some work with, player
consulting
development stuff,
and
he's been around. But now this is more than just being an ambassador, more than just working with a couple of players now and again, showing up to spring training and kind of looking around. My understanding is that Junior will have a little bit more of an active role, and I think that is obviously a great thing for baseball, a great thing for the Mariners, a great thing for fans and everybody. So, yeah, breaking news
huge.
This morning. Ken Griffey Jr. added to the Mariners ownership group. He will be one of the minority partners for the Mariners. Give me some more hip-hop array, man. I mean, that should be, I would hope, good news for every Mariner fan out there. It is.
I'm going to go home and watch My Oh My, and you got to love these guys. They're both on YouTube now. So that's how I'm going to be spending the evening before and after the game.
Which has been better today, listening to this or listening to the Monday Night Football theme?
Oh, that's so rad. Good for him. Good for them.
Again, Junior in his big chair in the big conference room, kick back.
His own shoe line, puts his feet up on the table. Man, having that kind of swag would be pretty incredible.
I mean, this guy's already got the statue out front. Now you're adding this to it? I mean, how many more things can you associate Ken Griffey Jr. and the Mariners together? It's pretty good. It is 9:15, which means it's time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Monday Night Football. We've been playing the theme all morning long, and nothing gets you ready quite like it. Seahawks and Saints, 5:15 tonight on ESPN. Monday Night Football. Geno Smith once again under center. Injury report looking pretty good for the Seahawks. Alex Collins should go. Damian Lewis, Darrell Taylor, both game time decisions. They were both listed as questionable. Now, Taylor would be a remarkable story. Obviously, it's been just a week since he was carted off the field on Sunday night in Pittsburgh, so hopefully he will be able to get it done. With the division continuing to win, better teams in the conference also winning at a pretty good rate, this is a must-win game for the Seahawks. Pull out whatever stops you need to, because you've got to win this one. Cardinals, 7-0. They turned on the Jets in the second half and wiped out the Texans. Huge debut for their new weapon.
Wide open, he hits Zach Ertz. Ertz, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Arizona.
Yeah, they just won big over Houston, which is obviously a bad team, but gave him a little bit of a scare in the first half. Cardinals ran away. Rams definitely got a scare from Detroit, but Jared Goff was, you know, Jared Goff. They were huge fourth quarter interception in the end zone. That cost them a chance to pull off the upset. So the LA Rams improved to 6-1 on the year. Cooper Kupp had 156 receiving yards and a pair of touchdowns, making his case as the best receiver in the game this year. Colts win the battle of the two teams the Seahawks have beaten this year as Jonathan Taylor runs for over 100 yards. Jimmy Garoppolo threw a couple of picks as the Niners lose. College results. UW coming from behind to beat the hapless Wildcats in Tucson Friday night. An ugly game start to finish, and I think it'll do nothing to quiet some of the chatter around this coaching staff and its future on Montlake. Wazoo loses to BYU.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, some breaking news this morning. Ken Griffey Jr. added to the Mariners ownership group as he becomes a minority partner with the Seattle Mariners. Maybe this is just a ceremonial thing, but from everything I've heard, he will have an active role, and I think that is a great thing. First of all, Jr.'s perspective as a former player should have immense value amongst guys who, for the most part, have made their money through business, not through baseball. So I think there's a positive side there. And then secondly, recruiting and bringing that need to go spend money to win. Nobody has a better perspective on that than Ken Griffey Jr., plus a bigger footprint and reputation in the game. I think that is great news for the Seattle Mariners. Meanwhile, World Series about to get going. How do you feel about the Braves? Only 88 wins on the regular season. They're going to play for the World Series title.
Swanson, he's got it to his feet. Throw the first.
They sure are. That was the call on Fox Saturday night for Game 6. And they're doing it all, by the way, without their best player, Ronald Acuna Jr. They will meet the Astros, who have a chance to become a dynasty with another championship. Game 1 tomorrow night in Houston. Charlie Morton against Framber Valdez. Some moves for the Mariners over the weekend, kind of cleaning up their 40-man roster before this offseason truly begins. One casualty of note, Shed Long Jr. going to be moving on to another team. Did have a big moment with that grand slam this year, but has spent 2 years now dealing with injuries. He's definitely a guy who could go elsewhere and succeed. Hopefully, though, this is further proof of this team's commitment to getting better in the infield. They've got those five big free agents looming, plus trade candidates like Jose Ramirez. So hopefully here, a commitment to freeing up the space in order to get something done.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Got our first look inside Climate Pledge Arena Saturday night. It is spectacular. More than anything, it is modern. It is futuristic. The digital screens, the self-checkout, Amazon One palm reading technology, that was all sweet. Seats are incredibly comfortable, leather-bound, open spaces, glass windows. It all seemed even bigger than I think the space even really is. It was very cool. Exactly what we had heard, a brand new arena, not a renovation. A completely new arena just built under the old roof, and it really was done to perfection. The only black mark on the night, unfortunately, the team didn't win. Kraken gave up a pair of leads, eventually lost 4-2 to a Vancouver team that really isn't that good. Had some chances. They did play better than they did on the road trip, but just not enough as the Canucks score three times in the third. Before that happened, though, history made right before the end of the first period.
Here's Larson, able to swing it across. Douglas, it fly!
That hit the inside of the post. He just absolutely picked that corner clean. Steve Levy, the call on ESPN Plus. And Vince Dunn scores the first ever goal at Climate Pledge Arena. The other goal for the Kraken scored by the captain, Mark Giordano. That's what you need to know. We do that every hour at quarter past the hour right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Text from 714. I don't even know what that is. Everyone trashes our defense being the worst in the league. Can you please talk about how our offense is last in the league in time of possession?
Yeah, I don't think that helps. Now, both of those things kind of work together.
The longer you're on the field, the more yards you're probably going to be giving up.
True. But yeah, I think that's look, both sides of this, that's why you keep going back and forth. Who's at fault? Is it the offense? Is it the defense? Is it the offense? It's both. Neither unit has shown enough of an ability to do what they need to, whether it's the offense staying on the field and scoring points or the defense to get off the field and cause turnovers. They've both taken their fair share of the issues so far this year. Yeah, I think you can absolutely point at both of them.
Okay. By the way, 7-1-4 is Orange County. You should have known
Orange
that.
Orange County.
You should have known that.
Yeah, even when Russ was in there, the problem was that they were getting off to such quick scoring, like, mm-hmm. and, you know, just deep balls for a touchdown, and that's great and everything, but then they weren't maintaining time of possession right. then either.
So you know how it all fell apart at the end of the game. So they should be running the ball more. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm not against the run.
You are too. You're letting Russ cook, aren't you?
No.
No?
I'm not against running the ball.
Oh, I thought you were a cooking person. No. I had kind of had you categorized as a cooking person.
I don't appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, all right. I take it back. The last thing I need to do is to cross more today.
I'm just not
She doesn't have any power at home.
I'm
My
just
God.
Not a Rashad Penny believer. Oh. I want him to go for 100 yards tonight.
He's going
to
go for 100 tonight. I'm actually now a little worried about the prediction. I'll be honest. I'm backing off the prediction a little bit just because I didn't think Collins was going to be this healthy. I didn't realize Alex Collins was going to be, like, good to go tonight. Pete's like, yeah, he's good to go. So that's a little bit of a concern for my Rashad Penny 100-yard night thing.
Did you ask Brock Seahawks when if?
Well, we did what do you need to see tonight. Okay. So I think it was close enough.
And, we still need to do ours.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, so what do we need to see tonight?
Seahawks when if.
All right. What do you got?
I don't want to do it again because I feel like I've cursed him. I've cursed him every single week. I just I don't want to go with the Jamal train. I'm going to go Seahawks win if we have some tight end touchdowns. Mm. It has to be tight ends.
Very specific
because I mean I haven't seen enough of them yet to truly believe that they're even on the team anymore. But I'm going fully into tight ends tonight All because right. I think it's going to be too rainy to throw deep balls. It's going to have to take the gimmies over the middle.
I'll keep it simple. The Seahawks win if they pick Jameis Winston off twice or at least force two turnovers.
Two turnovers.
They got to. Jameis Winston's biggest problem is that he turns the ball over. You've got to find a way to make him turn the ball over. You're not too worried. John Clayton just said they have the worst wide receiving group in the league. Okay, well, you shouldn't have to worry too much about getting beat deep. You should be looking for ways to find an opportunity to come in and take the ball away. Jameis Winston threw 30 picks 2 years ago. 30 picks. That is a crazy number in today's version of the NFL. You got to find a way to take the ball away twice tonight. And if you do, I think you win.
All right, Maura?
I was going to say if they get at least one turnover, but I'll go with you got to contain Kamara. I think you have to hold him to at least under 50 receiving yards.
Under
he's
how
more
many?
Of a, he's more of a threat there.
You say 50?
Under 50, okay.
Well, that means I better get their screen game cleaned up. And hopefully they can with less of a fear of these wide receivers beating them deep. Maybe that's helpful. Maybe these two corners who are a little feistier, right, can come up and maybe help in the screen game. But I think that's a good one. Yeah, you got to contain Alvin Kamara as well. We'll ask Brock some of these questions coming up next. And then, of course, it will be a Monday morning ranked at 9:45. Don't go anywhere. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Ewart is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Ewart says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Hey, buddy. How are we doing this morning?
You ready for a little Monday Night Football?
I am. I just played the theme to get myself ready. Yes. Yeah. How could I not be? I know that you get ready. You hear it. There it is. That make you ready?
That gives me goosebumps.
Yes, it should.
Do you remember? Yeah, maybe you don't. Memory's a little tough sometimes. Do you remember when McDonough came on after
yes.
McDonough had gotten announced?
Yes.
Then we played that for him.
Yes.
And how special that was for him, and not that we necessarily played it, but he's like, yeah, that's the quintessential sound of sport in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know that in the ESPN hockey. Bringing hockey back.
Sure. Which... Well, we can play both of those for Steve Levy. He's going to join us in 45 minutes today.
Oh, that's good.
He's having a pretty good Seattle weekend here.
How about the double dipper? And right in the middle of the rain of doom, or what is it? What,
this
what
is the bomb vortex, or the bomb cyclone.
He is right in yes. the midst of the bomb cyclone.
Yes.
Welcome to the Pacific North. I mean, what do you expect when you bring the Kraken, okay, a creature out of the deep sea? What do you think he's going to do for the opener? He's going to bring about just the he's going to turn the climate upside down,
yeah.
and there's going to be a bomb vortex. Sorry.
We've got a bomb cyclone, Brock. That's not a vortex. It's just a cyclone.
Sorry.
But it is dumping rain at times.
And then it
wind.
Just created a big stream, a big river,
yeah.
all the way down to California, and Ooh. It was blowing and nasty last night. Is it going to be, I was looking at the forecast, 80-90% rain tonight. I think the wind's going to subside, right?
We don't know what it's going to be, Brock. Okay. We don't know what it's going to be in 20 minutes, let alone what it's going to be tonight. So who
You're
the heck
in the middle
knows?
Of a bomb tornado. Sorry.
What? A bomb? Brock, it's a stop. It's a bomb cyclone. Stop screwing this up. This is important. Right. You're supposed to be the weather guy. Do I need to call Jim Cantore and get him on?
Probably.
All right.
Probably.
What do you want and need to see tonight? I brought back a Brock Heward favorite at 7:30 this morning.
Oh,
things
really?
I want to see, things I need to see tonight.
Ooh.
What would you like to see tonight? What would you absolutely need to see tonight? For the Seahawks.
Well, I need to see Jamal Adams and Bobby Wagner as just monsters. You know what the Saints are going to try to do, and they're going to try to run the ball. The last time Alvin Kamara was in here with Teddy Bridgewater, they couldn't tackle him. I mean, he was one of the rare guys for like 10 years. You could really short list. Remember LeSean McCoy with Buffalo? They couldn't tackle him that night. Kamara, they couldn't tackle him the last time he was in the building. So, and Pete was really enthused when he joined you in his leather jacket. Say, hey, man, we figured things out on defense. All right, the whole middle of the field stuff, we figured that thing out. And I think that had a lot to do, frankly, with Pittsburgh being down a bunch of weapons and guys getting hurt in that game. Sean Payton tonight, one of the best schemers, one of the best play callers in the NFL. He's going to test Bobby. He's going to test Jordan. He's going to test Jamal in the middle of the field. And you better get ready for probably two or three screens a quarter.
Mm.
So we will get a chance to thoroughly evaluate whether or not you figured that thing out. But I need to see some violence. I mean, this is Monday night. You've gotten some time to get healthy, to feel a little bit better. You played on a Thursday. You got kind of a mini bye, so those guys should be fresh. They should be flying defensively. So, Mike, I need to see violence on Alvin Kamara, not like the last time he came in here. I'd probably add Lamar Jackson. They couldn't tackle him either. I mean, it's a short list of guys that they have not been able to tackle in that building. Kamara is a target. He's on that list. So I need to see them hit him and hit him violently. And if it's wet and it's windy and it's rainy and it's going to be a run dominant game, then you've got to be the more physical crew. And
yeah.
there is no excuse for your defense tonight to not be flying around.
Yeah, go make those guys quit, right? They're a dome team from New Orleans. If they come out here in bad weather, you should be able to make them quit if you hit them hard enough early.
Yeah, and so you, that's a need.
Okay.
There's no
anything you want
that.
To see tonight that would be anything you'd like to see?
I want to see more imagination offensively. I want to see some screens. I want to see some jet sweeps. I want to see the Dwayne Eskridge get out into space.
Well, he's not
Dwayne
Eskridge. He's not even going to play. He may never play. That poor guy is.
What's going on? He's not on the injury report, is he?
Concussion. He's on IR, man.
They put him on IR?
Yeah, a while ago. Oh. Yeah, you missed that one. He's still having effects of the concussion.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes. I was looking at the injury report yesterday. I was like, oh, good. He's not on the injury report.
No, you're talking about 2 months in, he's still having concussion issues. It's actually legitimately kind of a scary situation.
That's a very scary deal.
Yeah.
That's a real bad deal.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I apologize. Well, then I need to see Penny Hart. I need to see some of those guys in some of that action. You better be creative in your run game. And you saw last night San Francisco. This is the system, okay? It's Shanahan, McVay, LaFleur. This is the system. And the two drives that they had where they went up and down the field, what was it? It was run. It was play action. It was misdirection. This is a good New Orleans defense.
Yep.
They will tee off on you. They're going to come up and play some press man, and they're strong at every level of that defense. If you think you can just line up and wail it at them and run it at them, it's going to be a long day. So I'm talking misdirection. That's what I want to see. I want to see misdirection. I want to see creativity. And if I don't, I won't be texting you, okay, because you will use that against me in the court of public opinion.
Yes, please
law.
Don't. Don't text me during the game. We were texting a little bit during the Husky game on Friday night. I said earlier that I think winning that game was actually that way was the worst result they could have had. They'd have been better off losing the game after all that, because then you can kind of look at it and say, okay, disaster has struck. Let's figure out what to do next. But winning that game almost like because some stuff happened in the second half that was positive, still not really all that positive, and Arizona gave it up, it clouds the issue a little bit. But the first half and really much of the, that was terrible, Brock.
That was as bad in the first half into three quarters that I have seen. Just lifeless everywhere. Sidelines was dead. Everything was dead. You were letting Arizona, a team that lost 17 in a row, dictate everything. And if they don't throw a pick, you know, late in the third quarter.
The one to the defensive lineman.
It's 16-3. They go in and kick a field goal.
Yep.
19-3. Or if they score a touchdown there, 23-3, it is over. The game is over, and Arizona breaks their 18 straight losses. But instead, the kid throws it to the D-tackle. Good play by Thule.
Yeah.
And that just flipped the momentum. And give Dylan credit, man. He made throws down the field. They finally, guess what? You've got guys. Your best players are your corners and your receivers. Those are your best players. So you might as well push the ball to them and give them chances, especially against the worst team and one of the three worst teams in college football.
Why don't you have 9 guys in the box against that team?
I don't know.
I mean, legitimately, all they're doing is running. They can't throw the ball, and you Correct. Have pretty good corners.
You don't have pretty good corners. You have great corners. You have NFL corners. You have NFL corners.
So make sure you get 6 guys back there to make sure to help them out. In the meantime, they're giving up 6 yards a carry.
They were a little, thankfully, this time, they were a little more aggressive, actually bringing some safeties around the line of scrimmage a little bit better than they've been in the past, but nowhere near still where they, in my opinion, where they need to be. And, you know, I give some credit though. I mean, Dylan came in and he'd been hammered.
He played better.
Those broadcasters were killing him. I mean, they were hard on him. And, you know, after bloodying his nose and playing bad football, you know, they got second life at the end of the third quarter, and they made it happen.
How many games does ESPN have? I've never heard of the two people that were calling that game on ESPN2. And I don't say that to be mean to that.
Clay Matvick and Rocky Boyman?
I thought they were fine. I thought they did a good job. I've never heard of either of those two people. Yes. Who are they?
Rocky was a linebacker from my era.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
No, I'm sure he was.
He was, I think, Michigan State guy, maybe something like that.
All right.
And played in the league for a little while. A nice guy. And Clay Matvick is, he can turn to the negative. He can be me on.
Well, I don't blame him.
He can be me on the tech stream.
I honestly felt bad. I felt bad for the country that game was on. I wish they put it on Pac-12 Network so I could have said, "Hey, I can't watch. Sorry, I never got a chance to see it. Unfortunately, I didn't have an excuse when it's on ESPN2.
Yeah, that was not real pretty.
All right. Here you go. There's Brock Heward every day 7:45 and again at 9:30. Yeah, I wonder what the weather will look like tonight. I mean, yesterday was so all over the map. It was like, what was I just saying? I saw Seattle Weather Blog, which, by the way, good follow on Twitter. Seattle Weather Blog. Like, you got to have it. Now, I feel very differently from the perpetrators of that blog. Like, they're all in on like wet, rainy, kind of bad weather. Whereas I'm here for 75 to 85 and sunny as often as possible. But official peak wind gust for Seattle yesterday was 50 miles an hour. 50. That's pretty good wind. Ties the January 13th for the second highest wind gust of the year. The highest was 54 miles an hour on January 12th.
I saw gusts on the coast up to the 70s.
I mean, those are pretty
today.
Legit. You don't want to be out in a boat through this, man. Like, that's
some really cool pictures though out on the coast that I've seen photographers been posting up.
Well, the when you see the huge radar or things of it, and you see just how gigantic the storm system is, it's huge, really huge, and hasn't obviously been nearly the kind of superstorm in effect here in Seattle inland. But man, that thing is gigantic, and seeing it affect all the way down to California and all the way up here. Pretty crazy. All right, so we'll see what ends up tonight. Saturday was a fantastic opening experience at Climate Pledge Arena. We will bring you the 5 most important and interesting and cool things we saw as we rank things next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwanfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, let's finish up today by ranking things. Everyone likes a good list. I was just reading some Golf Digest lists. Like the 13 worst things about golfing. They're mostly just making fun of amateur golfers for all of the not knowing the protocol.
Oh, like fixing divots and that kind of stuff.
That type of thing, or just like pretending like we're pros.
Sure.
Right? Like, stop acting like you're a pro. You don't need the rangefinder to dial in the distance under 30 yards. Like, you don't care about the difference between 28 and 24. And they're right.
I like pretending that I can hit my 7 a little bit shorter than my 6.
Yeah, right.
No. Come on. Get out of here, Peter Pan. I shouldn't even bring my irons.
I don't know what any of this means.
That would be interesting. I would like to see you play without irons.
Yeah, I should.
Justin shows up with a driver, 3-wood, a wedge, and a putter.
Right, just one hybrid club and the driver.
Do you think it would change your score significantly?
Absolutely not. That's the most frustrating part of that conversation that I didn't want to have to admit, but I will.
Funny. All right, let's rank the things we saw at Climate Pledge Arena Saturday night. The three of us were there together, Maura, Justin, and I. We had a lot of fun. And Heather and I spent a while, my wife Heather and I, walking around and just checking out everything they had there. So here are the five things I noticed that I really liked at Climate Pledge Arena. Number five, the acoustics. You couldn't help but notice them.
Fantastic. And everywhere you went, you could hear what was happening. Like the speakers were spaced out well enough that every step you took around the arena, you could still be following along with everything.
Yeah, everything sounded good. It got loud, but it also, like, you could hear words being spoken over the loudspeaker. And when they sang, I mean, Ann Wilson was fantastic, obviously, singing the national anthem. I really liked the woman who sang the Canadian anthem, who I guess is one of their, like, in-person, in-the-building hosts.
Yeah, my buddy Mikey is the other person who was hosting. I should ask him who that was.
She was great.
I didn't recognize her name.
She's a really good singer.
Yeah, she nailed the Canadian anthem, which, by the way, is a great anthem. I liked people kind of singing along in low voices to both anthems. Did you notice that?
I was going
to
ask you if that was a hockey thing or if that just happened.
I don't know.
If people sing along with
people
either.
Sang along to both the Canadian anthem and the national anthem. It was cool.
Yeah.
So that's number five. Number four, the take and go, all the technology related to how you could get beers or food, etc. In a lot of them, you literally just either have the Amazon palm print deal and you just walk out with whatever you've bought. And in others, and this is what we did, like you grab your beverage and then go pay for it at a self-help, you know, kiosk.
Have you ever seen Bill Burr's take on that?
No.
Oh, when you go pick up something and go to a checkout.
It was like,
oh, I didn't know it was my shift. I didn't know. I was working today.
But it was faster.
It is quick. Yeah, it was really
they had
fast.
Because they can just have so many more registers open for people to do that. So I never waited in line for a minute.
I didn't either. Bathrooms are the same way. Really quick.
Same with the concessions. So that was number four. Number three, the living wall. It's like a green grass and tree wall and ceiling that exists on the west side of the building.
Okay, so the First Avenue side.
Yes, on the lower level, First Ave side.
Is it fed by rainwater? Do we know how that one works,
I assume it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of art all the way around the arena, too, that if you didn't get to see the outside of it because the weather wasn't great, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, but there's a lot of cool installations around it, too.
Yeah. They made it look like a, you know, very Seattle-y in that way. Number two, I just thought, and Maura, you mentioned it also, the huge digital video screens that had, whether it was underwater sequences on the walls with fish, and then like the giant whale swimming across the ceiling above you. I loved that. It's a small
like
thing.
At an aquarium or something.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
You remember the puffer fish
thing?
I couldn't remember
doing
what
the Freddie Mercury deal.
That's right. And the crowd would sing along.
Yes.
Yep. I remember that was. There was one miss on like the floss cam or something. I was like, huh, that one didn't do it for me. But the puffer fish, it all came back.
It was good. I liked that the puffer fish's eyes or like nothing changed with it while it was singing.
I don't want to throw away your if it's number one, but I didn't see your list.
No, go ahead. You can have your
The big Kraken eye that was kind of ominously projected up on one of the beams outside that was like always watching you in the game.
It's near my number one, but it was not necessarily it.
That was pretty cool.
I would say the open windows to the Seattle Center was the number one thing that was cool about it. I've never seen that in an arena. Have you?
No, to where
people were gathering outside and watching the game. Yeah.
You can see in. Good for them. I think it's sweet. I mean, it's, you know, I guess you have like the rooftops in Chicago above Wrigley where you can see from there and all that, but they just have an open window right to the street. That was great.
Can you see into the Vikings? That one is just also glass?
I don't know.
I haven't walked up to that one.
I mean, because this is rare where you're talking about that glass being at the top because everything is dug
below.
Down into the ground. Yeah, if you get a chance to go, it really is awesome. I couldn't speak highly enough about what they did with that arena. Congratulations to everybody associated with it, with the building, the design. I mean, remember, at the beginning of this, they didn't even know if they could redesign a building under that roof. They didn't know that this was even possible. And to have come away doing what they did, I think some things will continue to improve. I don't think they're done yet. I know there's some folks that were upset and wanted, you know, a little disappointed, wanted more of the opening pageantry that Las Vegas has been doing. That may end up coming, and maybe they weren't quite ready for that yet. I didn't miss it. Honestly, I didn't miss it at all.
Well, iWiki said it's coming.
Oh, okay.
He said be patient, but yeah.
I didn't miss it. I liked that the focus was on hockey. I was fine with that. Maybe other people need more of the pageantry. I like the focus on hockey.
The expectation was set by Golden Knights. So, yeah, that's what probably people were waiting to see. The big Kraken projected or whatever other water feature that they were going to have.
I'm sure they'll do some of that. But it was pretty cool. Thanks thanks to everything they did there. They really did a great job with the whole arena. And just so happy we have an arena, have a team. Glad we got to experience it on Saturday night. I feel really lucky. All right. We're going to get out of here. Monday Night Football tonight. We mentioned earlier Steve Levy was on. He did a great job. He'll be calling the game tonight on ESPN. You can hear it here on 710 ESPN Seattle as well. We'll be in to talk all about it tomorrow morning with Pete Carroll joining us, of course, at 9:30. See if the Seahawks can get a win. They need it, man. They need it tonight. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. See ya.